Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to two particular passages of Scripture in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 and then Matthew chapter 2. And while you're turning there, let me ask you a question. Are you missing Christmas? Now, you may say, Pastor, that's a little bit premature. I mean, it's only December the 2nd. Christmas hasn't gotten here yet. But really, the truth is, there are so many people that are already missing Christmas. Because you look at the world that you and I live in and the environment that we're living in, and you see a lot of commercialism. I mean, it's all about the dollar. It's all about making money. I mean, that's the whole name of the game. And you see materialism. If we can, you know, offer it, make it commercial to you, that materialism, because you need it, you've got to have it. And then secularism. And the truth about it is, in so many ways, Christmas is being missed. You know, you think about nativities and you think about caroling and those things that many of us can remember are almost fading from the scenes when it comes from the landscape of the American culture. Yet what is even worse, and the sad part about it is, there's a lot of Christians who name the name of Christ that are missing Christmas. Now, just to have a Christmas tree up, just to sing the songs of Christmas, just to read the story of Christmas really doesn't mean that you've not missed Christmas. And when you look throughout Scripture, you really find so many individuals who miss the most precious story in all of the world. You know, it's one thing to miss Christmas, but the ultimate thing is to miss the Christ of Christmas. And the truth about it is, there's a lot of individuals that are missing Christ and are losing Christ in the midst of Christmas. And I want to share with you this morning three particular individuals and three ways that you and I can really miss Christmas. If you'll take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, I want you to listen carefully to these two verses about the birth of the Christ. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I want you to listen to the last phrase again real carefully. Because there was no room for them in the inn. When you look in this particular passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, you find the unfolding presentation of Mary finally reaching the point in her life where she is ready to give birth to this precious little boy who is going to be the Savior of the world. But I don't know if you've ever really stopped and have you really looked at it and really read it. Now, mothers and ladies, you will understand this. When you go back and look at the Christmas narrative, there's some very interesting things that you notice. The Bible says, now Joseph was there, and of course there was no room for them in the inn, and of course they made their way out to just a simple manger, and you know what a manger is. It's where cattle is fed and taken care of and where they stay. But when you read this one simple narrative, there's something very sobering about it at the very outset. Now, for every one of you that is a mother, you know what I'm talking about when I say this. And our daughter just had a precious, I'm a first-time grandparent, so not too long ago we was with her and we was excited and all that. But when you read the Christmas narrative, there is something that is very sobering when you listen and read it very carefully and very slowly. The Bible says that Mary was there and she gave birth to this precious child, and she, in essence, was delivered, and she wrapped the baby in swaddling clothes. Now, probably if she would have been in the inn, she might have had others to be around her, others to help her, others to take care of her. But get the picture, mothers. Here she is, and there's nobody with her but Joseph. And I don't know how much Joseph could have helped her or how much Joseph did help her. The Bible is just silent about that. But the Bible does say that in that period of time, which was the normal pregnancy and she gave birth, she couldn't just sit back and let everybody else take care of her. The Bible says that after the birth, she was the one who initiated the rest of the process. She is the one that wrapped the baby. There was no nurse there. There was no one attending other than her husband. And the Bible said that there was that time where she just wrapped the baby in swaddling clothes. And I can't help but wonder in my mind how life would have been like if there had been a room at the inn. I wonder how it would have been different if when they went to the inn, the innkeeper had said, well, you can have my room, or you can have my wife and my wife's room and our room, or we have just one little area in the inn. But the reality of it was that the most important person that passed by the innkeeper, he really turned away. Now, the Bible doesn't say that he was mean or that he was vicious or anything like that. But the truth about it is, when they came to the inn, the Bible says that there simply was no room in the inn. The Bible says little more than that about that inn. But I want you just to think about this for a moment. Here is Mary and Joseph, and she's 9 months pregnant, and they walk up to the door to the inn, and or in that day and time, and probably that was the way it was, knocked on the door, and they would let them know if there was any vacancy or no vacancy. And the innkeeper just sort of passed them by. And one of the realities about the innkeeper is this. He didn't realize who he was passing by. He didn't realize what he was doing, probably, in the entire scheme of things. But the reality of it is, the first person that missed Christmas was the innkeeper. You know, the reality of it is, when you look at him and you look at Scripture and you look at the Bible, just simply makes very little statement. But you know, with the custom of the day, he wasn't being mean or he wasn't being harsh. But you know, the Bible says that everybody had to go back to their own town because they were of the house and the lineage of David, and they had to go back and be taxed. But here's the sobering reality, and I want you to listen to this. Here is Mary in the manger, and the Bible says she gave birth, she wrapped the baby in swaddling clothes, and you know, she had to do all of that. No doctor there, no nurse there, no one to help her, no midwife. She did it all. And over here is the inn. It's full, it's busy, it's hustling, it's bustling. And the one who was over the inn, for some reason or the other, he missed the first Christmas. And sometimes we may make it a little bit hard on him, but here's the sobering reality, how he simply missed Christmas and how you and I miss Christmas. He was simply preoccupied with everything else that was going on. He had a business, he had means, and he needed to make money, and he needed to survive, and he needed to live, and that's understandable. But here's the sobering reality. Jesus Christ would never come by his life again in that same way. He would never be in that same situation, and he would never have that experience again in all of his life. And yet the Bible makes it very clear that just the simple reality of preoccupation kept him from missing Christmas and missing the first Christmas. Here he was. He was doing his best, and probably is a good money-making business. It's probably, you know, so good in making money that, the rooms were running over, and he was tickled to death because, after all, in that day and time, they weren't different from you and I. He wanted to make a good income and wanted to do well. But can I tell you this, that in the middle of Christmas and in the middle of all the wonder that there is, oftentimes we're exactly like that first innkeeper. We're so preoccupied with things. We're so preoccupied with stuff. Now, there's nothing wrong with things. There's nothing wrong with stuff. There's nothing wrong having things. Nothing wrong with having stuff. But listen to me very carefully. Wouldn't it be horrible to go through this one life and miss the greatest person in all the world? The truth about it is, there's a lot of people that are doing that. Jesus said, what does it profit a single person if he or she gains the whole world and loses their own soul? What good does it do if you gain everything that there is and you lose your own soul? You know, sadly, there will be so many who will miss eternity. They'll miss eternity because they've gone through life preoccupied. They've gone through life and they're preoccupied with the living, preoccupied with this and preoccupied with that. And again, there's nothing wrong about having money or having a lot of money. As a matter of fact, Solomon was probably the richest man that will ever be on the face of the earth. Abraham, Solomon, King David, nobody could touch a garment to them in our day and time. Vanderbilt would have been a servant to Solomon. But here's the sobering reality. If you're not careful in your life, you can go not only through this month, but you can go through your life and miss the very meaning of Christmas. I don't know how many times I've stood by the bed of somebody who's getting ready to walk out into eternity, and they've said something like this: I wish I could do blank over. I wish I could redo this. I wish that I had taken more time for, and they fill in the blank. And you see, there's nothing wrong with the things that God puts in front of us, but here's the sobering reality. Mary and Joseph would walk by this innkeeper one time, and the innkeeper didn't have any room in the inn, but he missed it. He missed it in all the middle of the wonder that there is. And the reality of it is, wouldn't it be horrible not only to miss Christmas, but to spend your eternity realizing that I have missed the Christ of Christmas? The whole purpose of Christmas is not pageantry, but the whole purpose of Christmas is to remind you and me we need a Savior. Because, you know, you look at yourself long enough and you realize that there's something radically wrong with you. You know, I sometimes say to myself, I don't understand why I do what I do. You ever do that? Do things you think, why did I do that? But here's the reality. Every one of us can miss it. And in the life of this innkeeper, it's just one simple thing. Now listen carefully. Satan may not get you to do horrible things, just as long as he can get you to do enough to miss Christ and Christmas. You ever stop to think about that? There's going to be a lot of morally good people that have not only missed Christmas, but they miss Christ altogether. They miss the whole purpose of life. They miss the whole meaning of life. And you see, the reality of it is, the world dictated to this businessman, to this innkeeper who was a businessman, and he listened. You know, a lot of times the world dictates, and here's what we do. We listen to what the world says. You've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and you've got to do the other. And we just simply bow to the altar of the world. You tell me I need to do this, and I'll do this. But here's the reality. The world cannot stand before you when you stand before a holy God. The Bible says it's appointed unto every one of us to die, and after that, the judgment. But so many people like this first man just simply become preoccupied. Second of all, some of us may not be like the innkeeper, but we may be like the second individual, Herod. You know, we can miss Christmas through what I would call jealousy. And through jealous fear. I want you to listen carefully and turn in your scripture to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these sayings, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. You know, not only did the innkeeper miss Christmas, but the Bible says here in the Gospel of Matthew that there was another individual who missed Christmas, and that was King Herod. Now, if you look at the text very carefully, the Bible just simply says that he missed it. The Bible says that here came the wise men, and here is Herod who is wanting to find out, where is this Jesus? I want to pay him homage. I want to worship him. Now listen carefully. He had no more desire to worship him and to pay homage to him and to kneel before him. His whole desire was to get rid of this Jesus. In that day and time, let me give you a little backdrop of who this Herod was. There is probably nobody any more fearful and any more jealous of his position getting taken away than Herod the king. Let me just give you a little bit of some things that he did. Herod was so scared to death about his king being his kingship, his Herod, his position being taken, that he had those that he even had the slightest hint, he had them executed. At one point, he married a woman and he had her executed shortly after. Not only did he have his wife executed, but he had his mother-in-law and two of his brother-in-laws executed. So you really didn't want to be in Herod's family if you could help it. And not only did he have them executed, but history reveals that there was a high priest that he was jealous of, and it was as though he could pray and be heard by God, so he executed him. And the day that Herod was getting ready to leave this world and go out into eternity, he knew he was dying. Listen to what he did. When Herod got ready to die, here's what he thought. Nobody's going to mourn my funeral. Nobody's going to mourn my death. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have some of the most well-known people arrested, put in jail, And on the day that I die, I give the order that the day that I die, all of those prisoners, those dignitaries that are in the city, that are in prison, they're to be executed at the time that I die. Can't you just imagine living in a time like that? Because here's what Herod wanted. Nobody would cry over his death, but he wanted some tears shed on the same day that he died. Pretty wicked, pretty cruel. But the reality of it is, Herod missed Christmas completely. And you'd say, well, that's rightly so. But listen to me very carefully. There was nobody going to take Herod's throne from him. He was going to do whatever necessary, and it wasn't of insignificance to him to know Jesus Christ. It was the least important thing to know him. He just wanted to make sure that this Jesus didn't interfere with his life, didn't interfere with his plans, didn't interfere with his agenda. He wanted to make sure, and so he was going to eradicate this Jesus off the face of the earth. That is, that was his line of thinking. Now, you say, well, that's absolutely horrible, and you're absolutely right. That is absolutely horrible. It's atrocious. But here's the reality. While we don't have the role of Herod in our world anymore, at least in our country, there are a lot of individuals who play the role of Herod in their own life, and here's how they do it. I'm not going to let Jesus mess with my life. I know he may be good for other people, but there is no way that he's going to mess with my life. He's going to mess with me. He's going to mess with my agenda for life. There is no way under God's heaven he's going to do that. There is no way that I'm going to let Jesus dabble into my life, into my plans. I'm going to eradicate him as best I can from my mind. There's a lot of people who do that in our day and time. They may not look overly rebellious and wicked, but here's the reality. It's the same end product. They not only miss Christmas, but they miss Christ of Christmas because they have chosen to do so. And you see, the reality is you're where you are in life by choice. You're not where you are by accident. Herod didn't get to where he was by accident. He made choices along the way to life. In his life, he made a choice that he wasn't going to allow this Jesus to upset his life. He was not going to bow the knee to this Messiah. He was going as best he could to eradicate him, get rid of him. Now, here's the reality in a lot of people's lives. I'm going to get God out of my mind. Now, they don't say they're going to kill him, but basically it's the same as, I want to remove God from my mind. I want to remove God from the fabric of my thinking. That way I can live my life in pleasure and pleasantness. But here's the reality. Every person on the face of the earth has to do something with Jesus. Everybody that lives, I've read Christians and I've read agnostics, and it's amazing what agnostics, what they try to do with this person named Jesus, because here's the reality. You will do something with Jesus the Christ. You will accept him or you will reject him. There is no middle ground. You will either bow before him in submission now or you will bow later. The Bible says every knee shall confess, every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there is going to be a day when Herod is going to bow the knee saying Jesus is Lord. There will be a day in your life that you will bow the knee, whether it's to your eternal salvation or to your eternal doom. But listen to me very carefully. You make your choices, not God. God don't make your choices for you. I hear some people say this, and you know, why does God send anybody to hell? Well, think about it a minute. If people don't want to invite Christ into their life, don't want to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior, where else is he going to send them? They don't want heaven. They don't want eternity with God. You say nobody in their right mind would want to go to hell. But you know what? You live in this life and you see some people that aren't in their right mind. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you see some people saying, why do you, well, I'm just having too much fun. As compared to what? As compared to an eternity separated from God? As compared to an eternity separated from Christ in a Christless hell? But you see, there's a lot of people like Herod. Now, they wouldn't kill anybody. They wouldn't harm a soul. But here's what they're saying in the fabric of their mind. They execute Christ in their mind. What do you mean execute him? I just don't want to hear about him. One of the foremost leading atheists in the world, Richard Dawkins, he is one of the deepest atheists I guess you could ever read. And basically, you can't be a Christian and be intelligent in his mind. But here's the reality. Herod did something with Jesus. He ignored him. And that's exactly where every one of us will fall. You listen, here is Herod, and here he lived one earthly life, and you've got one earthly life, and it's getting shorter and shorter. You ever stop and think about it? Your life is getting shorter and shorter. Some of you are thinking about things now you didn't think about 20 years ago. You're thinking about retirement. You're thinking about, what am I going to do in retirement? What am I going to do after I retire? Where are we going? Are we going to have enough money in retirement? But you know what? There was a day that King Herod left this world. And here's the reality. The Bible makes it clear. It's appointed unto man once to die. Wouldn't it be horrible to be like Herod and to miss Christmas by simply saying, Jesus, you're not going to mess with my life? And that's really a lot of the world. A lot of the world is saying, you know, you Christians can believe in Jesus if you want to, but he's not going to mess with my life. That's what Herod basically did. That was his life. That was the way that he functioned in his life. He said, you go find this Messiah so I can come and bow. And he was going to execute him. And that's what many people do in their mind. That may be what you're doing. You know, maybe your life is, you know, if you can execute, you know, integrity and ethics in your life, then you can live your life and you can conduct your business and do this. But friend, you're going to die. You're going to leave this world, and Jesus wants you to know you chose to reject him. Jesus wants you to know if you don't end up in heaven, it's not by accident that you ended up in torment, because there's no other place. And you see, you stop and think about it. Where else was there? Herod didn't want Jesus, and therefore he didn't want God. And therefore, he didn't want the life that Jesus and God could have given him. He wanted what he could have, when he could have it, the way he could have it. He wanted a throne, and nobody was going to take it away from him, no matter come what may. And the day that he died, there was no recanting. There was no changing his mind. He died like many people are, who have decided, I'm going to miss Christmas because I'm going to have life my way. Now, let me say this to you. If you want your life your way, the way you want it, no submission. You don't want Jesus. You don't want God. Then let me encourage you to do one thing. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. I want you to listen. Do everything you can in this life to get as much as you can. If you're going to reject Jesus and going to choose to reject Jesus and going to choose to reject God, get everything you can in this life. Work extra hard, make as much money, get as many things as you can. Why? Because this is the only heaven you're going to have. This is the only thing that you've got to look forward to. There's nothing after this life if you reject Jesus. There's nothing after this life if you reject the gift of God. Listen. Jesus himself said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses, listen to his words, losing your own soul? But if you're going to reject Jesus, do everything you can to get everything you can, because this is only what you get. The next step in life is the most horrendous, and it will be yours for all of eternity. It will be a place called hell. That's exactly what happened in Herod's life. You say, how do you know that? Well, here's the reality. He didn't want God. He didn't want Christ. And there's not a single soul in heaven that doesn't bow the knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And see, not only that, but there's a third way we miss Christmas. We miss Christmas simply through prideful indifference. I want you to look in verse 4 of Matthew chapter 2. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, here's the situation. Herod has called the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests. He's called all the intelligent leaders, supposedly all the spiritual leaders, to him. And he says, I want you to tell me, you're smart men, you're wise men. You study the scrolls, you study the scripture. You know the law, you know the Torah, you know what the prophecies are in scripture. Tell us where the Messiah is going to be born. By the way, Herod knew there was a Messiah coming. He wasn't ignorant. He wasn't dumb to the reality there was a coming Messiah. And listen, nobody enters hell by accident. You're not going to trip over and fall into hell. Sometimes there's a belief that, well, you know, God didn't give this person opportunity enough. No, God's given you a God-given mind, and you've made God-given choices, and you live with the consequences. But here's what they said. Well, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Now think about it a minute. They knew the prophecies of Scripture. They knew where Jesus Christ was going to be born. You know, but here's the thing about it. They, like Herod, and you might expect the innkeeper to miss Christmas, and you might expect Herod to miss Christmas, but these were religious men. These were men who were intelligent. These were men who were smart, and yet here's the reality. You know, they had all the knowledge in their mind, but they didn't have a relationship. How do you know that? Jesus said one time, he said, you know, unless your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees. You know what Jesus is saying? A lot of Pharisees aren't going to heaven. There's a lot of religious folk that aren't going to heaven. There's a lot of people who have their name on Baptist rolls that aren't going to heaven. Why? Because Jesus said, makes it very clear, unless a man be born again. And you see, the thing about it was, is that they were so intelligent. I've seen some that will debate you. I mean, they'll debate you over the world, how the world was created and how all this began and all that. And they'll go back to some of the arguments of some of the philosophers. But listen, there is something more significant than debating in your mind. It's believing in your heart. Jesus himself said through the Apostle Paul, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. It's amazing there's going to be a lot of people who have a lot of head knowledge and are going to not only miss Christmas, but they're missing Christ. They're missing a relationship with Jesus Christ. I wonder sometimes as I pastored, as I walked through this journey, because, you know, I've pastored for over 30 years, and I look down the road and I wonder about the future, and I think, Lord, I just wonder, out of all those people that I pastored, how many of them are going to miss heaven? How many of them are going to miss and have missed the gift of God, the eternal life that he offers? But here's the thing about it. You know, there was room in their heart or in their mind for knowledge. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully, and I want to say this real slowly. There may be room in your heart and in your mind for knowledge, but there's not room in your heart for the person of the Son of God. You know why? Because there's a lot of people just like these Pharisees and scribes, and there's nobody better than them. They'd look at other people, and here's what they go, man, I feel sorry for you. I wish you could be like me. You ever know anybody like that? They feel sorry for you because you can't be as good as they are. And they're just so filled with themselves, so filled with their pride and their arrogance and their puffed upness. And you know, Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceed them. Why? Because they were just proud. You know, the reality of it is, there's a lot of people that won't do this to the Lord Jesus Christ. They won't bow their knee to the Lord Jesus. The Bible makes it very clear that he honors a contrite and humble spirit. And the truth about it is, there's a lot of individuals who say, well, you know, I believe there was a Jesus. I believe he lived on the earth. But listen to me very carefully. The demons do too. The demons of hell believe Jesus lived on this earth. Do you remember that one time, the one of the demons came to it and said, Jesus, Son of God, what are you going to do to us? Are you going to send us to punishment before the time? And the reality of it is, listen, it's not just enough for you to have a mental knowledge. The Bible says unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And being born is born of the Spirit of God, being willing to say to the Lord Jesus Christ, I know you came for me because I am a sinner by nature and a sinner by choice. And I just have to tell you, sometimes some religious people, that really rubs them raw. But I want to tell you something. You are a sinner by nature and you are a sinner by choice. You and I could lie before we could talk. We stole before we could walk. You know why? That's our default nature. You don't automatically think first how to be kind to somebody else. That's not your default position. And you see, the reality of it was, in spite of the fact that these Pharisees were intelligent, here's the reality. Now, I want you to listen. It's very simple. They just didn't need the Messiah. I talk to people all the time and just listen to them. And just in the course of the conversation, they just don't need him. By the way they talk, by the way they live their life, I'll need him someday. Maybe when I get old, maybe before I die, I'll confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's a foolish person. And the reality of it is, you may be one of those foolish people right now. Here is the innkeeper. And an experience came by his life that would never happen again. In the life of Herod, Jesus wasn't going to mess up his life. Now remember what I said. If Jesus isn't going to mess up your life and you're not going to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to the glory of God the Father, do everything in this life to get everything you can. Use your energy to get all the things you can in this life, because that's it. You say, preacher, I never thought you'd say that. Listen, there are some people, that's their bent. I'm not going to invite Christ into my life. I never will forget a man I knew years ago. He was an elderly man, and his name was Lawrence. He's dead now in hell. You say, well, that's horrible to say. No, that's where he said he was going. I said, Lawrence, what are you going to do when you die? I want you to listen to his testimony. I guess I'll just die and go to hell, and that settles that. And he did die. No knowledge of him going to church. But you see, the facts of the matter are, these Pharisees just had indifference. Indifference to Jesus. Indifference sort of says it like this: I can take him or leave him. I can take the Bible or I can leave it. It doesn't matter to me. Indifference says, I may listen to him, but I'm not going to allow him to be Lord of my life. Indifference is just being religious. What do you mean being religious? Maybe going to church, carrying your Bible, picking up a songbook, singing a song or two out of it. No relationship. The Bible says in Psalms and Proverbs, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Herod played the role of a fool, believing that his life was his choice to do with, without consequences. A lot of the Pharisees played the role of a fool too. They thought their life was theirs to do with as they chose, without consequences. And I don't know about the innkeeper. He was just bombarded with the busyness of the day, and he missed the best thing that ever came by his life. He missed Christmas. Friend, there's some facts you know deep in your heart, but here's the reality. You and you alone decide for yourself if you miss Christmas and if you miss Christ. You can't blame it on anybody else. When you leave this world and you're in eternal destiny that you've chosen, because you chose it. You say, well, if somebody just witnessed to me one more time, If that was the case, there'd be a person in hell that wants out. There's not. There's no evidence in Scripture there's a single person in hell that wants out, because they don't want God. And it's fixed for all of eternity. Wouldn't it be horrible? You can miss a Christmas season. There's some people in hospitals, they won't get out. Talked to a precious lady just the other day, and she'd been in for a year. It's one thing to miss a season, but I'm here to tell you, you miss Christ, and it's over for all of eternity. Well, it's not really over. It's just begun. No hope, no help, nothing good, nothing of God, no one to help you in any circumstance, only the inhabitants of hell. Only the devil, only the demons, nothing good. Let me ask you, are you like the innkeeper, preoccupied and missing Christmas? Are you like Herod? Jealousy? You're missing Christmas? Or are you like the Pharisees, the scribes? You're just pride, arrogance, indifference. Now, you'll do what one of two things with this message. You'll accept it. You'll reject it. There is no middle ground. Father, you remind us that you're serious about us. You're serious about a relationship. And that relationship is eternal. That relationship will last forever and forever and forever. And Father, for those who reject Jesus, it will be an eternal relationship, forever and forever separated. And there'll be nowhere to turn to, nothing good, no God to help them. Father, we play the role of a fool if we think we can live this life without consequences. Father, I pray for those who may be like that innkeeper or Herod or the scribes and Pharisees. That person this morning who's missing the relationship. There's head knowledge. They've got information in their head, but they don't have it in their heart. They've not bowed the knee. Father, I pray for them. You love us with an insatiable love. Father, draw whom you would to yourself this morning. There's no greater joy in all of life than inviting Jesus Christ into our heart to be Lord and Savior.